Welcome back, Curious Minds. So today we're taking a deep dive into what is, well, arguably the foundational text of the modern self-help movement. Norman Vincent Peale's really seismic work, The Power of Positive Thinking.
Yeah, absolutely seismic. And this book, it's much more than just the title might suggest. Our mission here is really to analyze Peale's specific, practical methodology.
Right.
This isn't just sort of fluffy optimism. We're really trying to dissect his systematic process for overcoming that deep-seated self-doubt, the chronic worry, paralyzing fear.
All that stuff that holds people back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we want to examine his claim that transforming your internal thoughts translates directly into tangible real-world results.
And the relevance today is just massive, isn't it? I mean, in a world where we often feel like, I don't know, helpless victims of circumstance, Peale offered this really radical path. Mm-hmm. He essentially gave us a step-by-step operating system, didn't he? Moving you from feeling overwhelmed to becoming like an empowered creator of destiny.
Yeah. Simply by focusing on your internal thought processes,
yeah.
He grounds all the agency right back in your mind. It's quite something.
Totally.
And to really get the weight of that claim, I think we have to look at the author himself, his unique authority. Norman Vincent Peale lived from 1898 to 1993. But the key thing is his insight came from his post as the pastor of the Marble Collegiate Church in New York City for over 50 years.
50 years. Just think about that. That is an unparalleled laboratory of human experience, right?
Absolutely.
Imagine the thousands and thousands of people who walk through his doors. Executives maybe facing financial collapse, ordinary people just struggling with crippling anxiety, laborers worried about the future.
Mm-hmm. He didn't just read theories in a book. He saw the real fears, the real anxieties of, like you said, thousands of humans from every walk of life and in probably the most competitive city in the world.
Yeah.
So what made him really distinctive, I think, was his intellectual synthesis. He managed to combine these timeless Christian principles, you know, which offer structure and faith with the emerging concepts of early popular psychology at the time. He was a real pragmatist. He observed what actually worked.
What helped people change.
Yeah, what helped people genuinely transform their lives. And he basically codified those practices into a system of what he called applied Christianity.
So he was kind of translating these complex psychological and spiritual ideas into like a practical blueprint.
Precisely. And his approach was pretty revolutionary because he successfully bridged the spiritual and the self-help worlds. He gave the everyday person accessible, actionable advice. You didn't need a PhD or, you know, specialized religious knowledge to get it.
Okay, so let's get to the core idea, the central premise of the book itself. Peale argues, essentially, that your thoughts aren't just passive reflections of reality, are they?
No, not at all. They are active, transformative forces. That's the key. By consciously cultivating a positive, faith-filled mindset, he believed you could literally alter your circumstances, improve your health, and, well, increase your chances of success.
It's a pretty bold claim. But the book delivers a really comprehensive manual for, let's call it, mental and spiritual reengineering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not aimed at gurus or, you know, sages living on mountaintops. It's specifically targeted at the ordinary person, right? The person grappling with those really common everyday challenges, job anxiety, that nagging self-doubt.
That feeling that life is just happening to you rather than you directing it.
Exactly.
And what really stands out when you look at the structure is the journey it takes you on. It's progressive. Peale doesn't just say, oh, smile more.
Right. Laugh slightly.
He starts by making you confront the inner negativity. He talks a lot about the inferiority complex. And then he moves systematically through this practical toolkit designed to generate measurable real-world change. It really is like a systematic approach to mental fitness.
Okay, so let's break down some of those primary mechanisms he proposes. The first big one seems to be about building belief, right? The architecture of belief. Building the unshakable self.
Yes, absolutely. Peale is relentless on this point. Mm-hmm. Self-belief is the absolute cornerstone. And he identifies that inferiority complex as the main obstacle blocking, well, almost everyone at some point.
And he gives practical things to do about it, not just think about it.
Exactly. The core technique isn't just wishing you were more confident. It's the active, daily construction of confidence. He literally tells you to create and review a written list of your personal strengths and accomplishments every day.
Wow, daily.
Daily. And combine that with powerful affirmations. It's all about systematically reprogramming your subconscious mind. you know.
Building on that, he really stresses the need for peace. Chapter 2, A Peaceful Mind Generates Power. He argues that mental agitation, worry, anxiety, all those racing thoughts, it doesn't just feel bad. It actively drains your energy.
Right. It prevents clear, constructive thinking. And this is where he introduces mind emptying. Now, in our hyper-connected age, that sounds almost impossible, doesn't it?
Good luck with that.
Laughs. But Peel saw the mind like a hard drive, maybe. If you don't delete the clutter, the old resentments, the fears, the trivial worries, you just can't install the new positive operating system.
That makes sense.
So it requires regularly sweeping the mind clear. And then this is crucial, actively filling that void with serene, positive images or thoughts. It's about building mental resilience. Peace is basically a prerequisite for power, in his view.
Okay, so once that foundation is laid, the mind's a bit clearer, then the next principle comes in, energy from purpose and practical faith.
Mm.
And chapter 3, how to have constant energy. You'd expect it to be about, I don't know, vitamins or sleep.
Right, diet and exercise.
Yeah, but Peel goes much deeper. He says chronic fatigue is usually mental or, well, spiritual in origin.
Precisely. He views that constant tiredness as often being caused by these sort of mental toxins, resentment, maybe boredom, or just a lack of meaningful purpose in your life. The physical exhaustion is just the symptom, really.
The symptom of an internal misalignment.
Exactly. So the solution involves aligning your life with a deep, compelling purpose and, importantly for him, connecting with a higher energy source through consistent spiritual practice.
And that spiritual practice, for Peel, is rooted in what he calls tri-prayer power, chapter 4. And this seems crucial. He frames prayer not as some vague ritual, but as a really practical problem-solving tool.
Yes, almost like an engineering formula. He calls it prayerizing.
Prayerizing, okay.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is the almost like cognitive behavioral approach embedded in his method.
Hmm.
The formula involves, first, clearly articulating the problem. You have to define it clearly.
Okay.
Then visualizing the desired positive outcome. He calls this the picturized step. And finally, releasing the concern with unwavering faith. He even suggests, kind of charmingly, shooting arrows of prayer throughout the day, just short, immediate requests for guidance or strength.
So it's very active, very intentional. This shift in internal attitude then dictates external outcomes, which I guess leads us to the third core concept, expectation as a creative magnetic force. Peel argues really forcefully that happiness is an internal choice, it's a skill. He challenges that universal if-only mindset.
Right, that classic, if only I had a better job, or if only I had more money, then I'd finally be happy. Peel wanted to completely dismantle that thinking. He asserts that you have to cultivate the happiness habit, like any habit, through deliberate practice, daily gratitude lists, expressing kindness to others, consciously deciding each morning, okay, today I'm choosing a happy outlook. Happiness becomes a decision, you know, not just a reward that might show up later.
And this intentional attitude, he claims, directly influences reality through expectation. Chapter 7, expect the best and get it. Now, honestly, doesn't that sound a bit like a recipe for crushing disappointment when things inevitably go wrong?
It's a really valid point, that potential for disappointment. But Peel argues that expectation itself is a creative, almost magnetic force. If you genuinely expect failure, subconsciously, you're looking for evidence to confirm that failure. You act in ways that bring it about. Whereas if you genuinely and proactively expect success, you kind of prime your attention to see opportunities, to seize chances. It's a discipline, really. Before any endeavor, he says, visualize the best possible outcome and affirm, I expect the best.
Okay, but this positive expectation still needs a plan B, right? What happens when the best just doesn't happen?
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to the final major mechanism, systematically defeating worry and defeat. Keel tackles this head on in chapter 8. I don't believe in defeat.
Yeah, and his take is pretty radical. He argues that defeat is primarily a mental concept. So his strategy is basically refuse to accept defeat mentally.
Just refuse it.
Just refuse it. When you face a setback, immediately pivot. Analyze what went wrong, sure. Salvage the lessons, absolutely.
Yeah.
But then redirect all your mental energy towards the next opportunity. Failure becomes data, you know, not a permanent identity crisis.
That's powerful. And finally, he addresses maybe the most destructive habit of all, worry. He calls worry a form of negative faith.
That's such a striking phrase, isn't it? Negative faith. You're actively believing in and therefore putting energy towards the worst case scenario.
So how do you break it?
He provides a very systematic four-step formula. Step 1, mind emptying again. Clear out the anxious thoughts. Step 2, immediately fill that cleared space with faith and courage using affirmations. Step 3, actively talk back to the worried thought, like refute its premise logically or with faith. And step 4, consciously release the concern through prayer, placing it in God's hands. It's a real exercise in cognitive redirection.
Wow. Okay, looking at the whole structure now, let's try and pull out the core themes that tie all these practical steps together. The first one, which we keep circling back to, has got to be the creative power of thought.
Absolutely. That's the big overarching idea. Your thoughts are not passive observers, they are active forces. Peel fundamentally posits that the external world is, to a large extent, a mirror of your internal one.
So if you successfully architect your inner landscape,
your outer reality will tend to follow. That's the hypothesis.
Okay. Theme 2 feels like faith as a practical tool. He talks about scientific faith.
Yes, and that's key. He wasn't suggesting faith is just blind hope. He presented it as a dynamic, usable force, almost like a technology that unlocks potential and provides measurable, actionable results. It elevates positive thinking way beyond just naive optimism.
And this links directly to theme 3, doesn't it? The mind-body connection.
Definitely. Peel was really instrumental in normalizing this idea for the general public back in the mid-20th century. He argued very clearly that negative thinking patterns generate stress-related illnesses, chronic fatigue, ulcers, high blood pressure.
Things we now accept as stress-related.
Exactly. While a disciplined, peaceful mind actively promotes sustained vitality and well-being.
My favorite theme, I think, is theme 4, personal responsibility and self-empowerment. The ultimate power to change your life lies squarely with you, right? In controlling your mental responses and attitudes.
Yeah, he really strips away that idea of being a victim of external fate. He makes you the architect of your own destiny through your thinking.
It's very empowering.
And Peel's enduring appeal, I think, lies partly in his amazing ability to package these pretty profound psychological and spiritual concepts into intensely memorable lines.
Yeah.
They just stick with you.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Let's look at maybe the cornerstone quote. Change your thoughts and you change your world. Simple, but incredibly powerful, right? It puts all the responsibility and therefore all the power for transformation directly in your hands.
Exactly. Or how about this one? His kind of formula for contentment. The way to happiness. Keep your heart free from hate, your mind from worry. Live simply. Expect little. Give much.
That emphasizes that real happiness comes from your internal state and generosity, not just chasing more stuff or external validation.
Right. And then there's the one that really highlights resilience. Empty pockets never held anyone back. Only empty heads and empty hearts can do that.
Oof. That hits hard. It confirms that your internal resources, your mindset, your determination, your spirit, they far outweigh any material disadvantages you might face.
Totally. And finally, the core of his whole visualization process. Formulate and stamp indelibly on your mind a mental picture of yourself as succeeding. Hold this picture tenaciously. Never permit it to fade.
That's the belief that the subconscious accepts a vividly imagined success as if it were real.
Yeah, and therefore compels your actions to align with that picture. It's fascinating stuff.
Okay, so how do we actually use these ideas today? Let's talk real life applications, maybe starting with professional life.
Sure. Well, think about those high stakes situations, a job interview, a really crucial sales negotiation, maybe giving a big presentation. You can use the confidence building techniques, specifically the affirmations and the visualization, immediately beforehand.
Like a mental warm up.
Exactly. You're mentally pre-wiring yourself for success, maybe reducing some of that physical stress response, maintaining composure, hopefully improving your performance.
And for personal health, that mind drainage idea, maybe it could be integrated as a daily meditative practice. Just a few minutes to consciously reduce chronic stress.
Yeah. And actively looking for those mental toxins. He talks about sources of resentment or boredom that might be contributing to physical fatigue and then deciding to address them directly.
Makes sense. What about in relationships?
Well, applying the techniques for managing anger and promoting forgiveness seems really crucial for mending strained connections. Peel really insists that releasing grudges primarily frees you, doesn't it? It frees you from the massive emotional burden of carrying that toxic negativity.
That's so true. It hurts you more than them sometimes. And maybe for learning, like for students.
Oh, absolutely. Students could use the affirmation techniques to systematically tackle test anxiety or self-doubt. You know, filling their minds with positive expectations instead of the fear of failure. It could genuinely help improve concentration, memory, and ultimately maybe even their academic performance.
It all comes back to realizing that positive thinking, at least as Peel defined it, isn't passive. It's like disciplined, active mental work.
Exactly right. It's a practice.
So final thoughts. What surprised me most, actually, revisiting this, is how sophisticated the methodology really is underneath the simple language. The book isn't just, you know, feel-good motivation. It really does provide a kind of complete, accessible operating system for the mind. Peale's enduring insight is that we genuinely have the power to consciously architect our internal world.
Yeah, I agree. For me, the key takeaway is that Peale's integration of spiritual structure with really practical psychology confirmed a profound truth for millions of people. Positive thinking isn't passive wishing. It is a muscular, disciplined, active force. It's a comprehensive methodology backed up by decades of real human counseling experience, and I think that's why it remains so relevant and vital today.
Well said. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acotra Foundation.